Welcome to the Michigan Districts Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner. Today we're talking about the innovative missional ministries and Family of God. Pastor Jim Hill, Tyler Cronkright, and Amanda Becker were recently at the Urban Ministry Conference in Detroit to talk about the mission on the west side of the city. Take a listen.
So, Dr. Casper, I have to tell everybody the truth that Tyler bet me 7-1 odds that we wouldn't be done by 3 o'clock. I gave him $5. So I'm going to yield our time. Are we set to go? We have a three-part presentation, hopefully within 15 minutes. I'm going to present who we were, and then Tyler's going to present who we are, and Amanda's going to present, this is Amanda, our Director of Development, she's going to present where we're going. So about 2000, roughly, some guy named Pastor Steve Essenberg asked me to go down and see this lady called Sue Hatcher, right here, who was having a Bible study for addicted people, and I very reluctantly said yes, and it was like quicksand. I never got away. I'm still here now, but Family of God began with that Bible study. The Bible study probably started in 97, 98, so I show up 2000. A little bit after that, we decided to start having church. We were hosted by what was then the Latino ministry in the upper floor of a bakery, and we marched up and down Burner over the years, and finally we ended up on Sharon Street, where some of you have been with Family of God. So I'm going to take a slight detour here. Southwest Detroit is not like most of the rest of Detroit. The neighborhoods are intact. The place is full of people. I would like to say it's a vibrant neighborhood, except there's drugs and poverty and lack. All the things that you've heard are there too. It's just that the neighborhood's still there. Many of our people have known each other their whole lives. The transient problem doesn't happen much in Southwest Detroit. So we don't have to build a community. There is a community there. Okay. We would describe our ministry as being an aid station back then. People would come in wounded, physically, spiritually, mentally. We would bind them up, hopefully put a little bit of the Word of God in it, and they would go out the door, and here they'd be the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So it's sort of like a treadmill. What's the next picture? But over time, we learned that we were actually following a plan. This is one of those moments where you look back and say, oh, that's what God was doing. It's not a plan we developed. And there's a four-step plan that you'll see again in a minute. Compassion is we met people where they were, right? We served them as best as we could. Again, aid station kind of help, which would be clothing, binding up wounds, feeding, all those things. Trying to build long-term relationships so that when they ask what we call the golden question is, why are you doing this? Then their hearts are wide open to hear the gospel. And then finally, witness, we try to pull them in so that they are involved in the ministry too. So they stop being those who receive and start also to be those who give. Then the day came when it was very apparent, and I'm going to blame Dr. Casper for this because I went to him, very apparent that we were at a standstill, being the pastor of St. John, being the pastor of Mount Calvary, both places which I loved, and being a pastor of Family of God, just wasn't working anymore. Family of God had to grow. So I asked Pastor Casper what to do, and he actually had a first good idea I ever had out of district.
I'm right here.
I said you were a good idea, and he said, let's find somebody to sponsor you as a missionary, and before I know it, I'm in Christ our Savior, and before I know it, we're out of the building in Sharon Street, and God provided us a church paid for, and our ministry has been growing, if not exploding, ever since. And now I'm going to turn it over to Tyler.
Hi, so I'm Tyler. I've been at Family of God for about 6 years. And Pastor Hill's right. When we realized that it was time for us to go, since a lot of the ministries that we've heard from so far have described themselves as being very relational, relationship-based. And that's how we are too. And for us, being able to serve one another, being able to really share the transformative power of the gospel, it all comes down to a relationship with one another. And when you have seating for 44 people and you've got 85 people waiting to have a seat or to sit for Bible study, it comes to the time where you need to move and grow. And that's exactly what's been happening. We just served in one night over 100 people just this last Tuesday, which was absolutely incredible to see how God has continued to bring people from all kinds of backgrounds, all different types of struggles. And it doesn't take very long for them to tell you what their struggles are, what addiction they have, where they've been, what just in general, they're very quick to share with you. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. And that's one of the great things about us. And I'm in the seminary right now through the SMP program, and one of my classmates told me one time, he said, I would love if I could have my people be able to tell me what's going on. He goes, I'm jealous that people just come in and just tell you what's going on. And I said, careful what you wish for. Yeah. Because we just unprovoked, people just come in and tell us their deepest and their darkest sin. And that can be really hard for us to process sometimes. So shifting from a defensive ministry model where we were responding to the issues that were coming to us, we've decided to shift from defense and move to offense. I'm a sports nut, and so when Pastor Hill brought this up, it really resonated with me. We're trying to get ahead of these cycles. I think it was both Steve and Debbie said that they are just the cycles. They're in these vicious cycles, and this is exactly what our people are in as well. Kids are growing up, and it's like a rite of passage to be pregnant by the time that you're 13 and 14 years old. And you know, young men are 12 and 13 years old, and they're already being recruited to run drugs or to sell drugs, and that's a very real reality. But for us, we're trying to just get ahead of it and show these kids that they are worth more than what the neighborhood tells them, that they are worth more than what they perceive to be. And so for us, the gospel on offense looks like taking two young boys who have already been talked to about joining gangs, who've already been kind of had a seed planted in their heads that they're not smart enough, they can't do anything else but be a Southwest Detroit resident. And here in this picture, I love it because Robert and Justin are playing with two young boys, and they're just to think that just a couple of years ago that this would happen, that they're taking the time to sit and to play with these young men. They're really young men. That's really what we're shooting for. And then on the right, young girls that don't have a father figure in their life, and God has given Family of God the opportunity to be able to pour into young ladies' lives, young children's lives, to be able to show them and give them a real presence of what a parent figure looks like. And Pastor Hill mentioned our ministry model that continues today as we shift to the offense, except now with our children. Compassion looks like meeting our kids exactly where they are, telling them that they are enough. A lot of times they're described as problems or troubled, and for us, you're a child of God. And then we serve them. And this isn't just giving them food, it's doing things that Amanda's going to talk about in a minute. It's taking them places, it's tutoring them, it's showing them the love of God in a very tangible way so that they too are able to say, Tyler, Amanda, why are you doing this? You have a wife. You have things that you could much rather be doing, but you're here with me every single day, even though sometimes I'm a pain in the butt to work with. And then that turns into fellowship, which was expressed in the previous picture with Robert and Justin, where they're a part of a greater community. They're a part of something that is bigger than themselves. And to see how these kids are responding to the love of Christ that comes from not just from us, the staff, but the countless number of volunteers that come day in and day out to make this ministry possible. And as we shift to where we're going, Amanda's going to come on up, and she's going to kind of talk about where we feel and where we believe that God is leading us.
So my name is Amanda Becker, and I'm blessed to serve as the Director of Development at Family of God. And I've been there for about 2.5 years now. And so you've kind of heard about our defensive ministry, how we've been serving the adults in our community, and we still do that. We still serve a meal to the community 6 days of the week. We still have a lot of people that are in bondage to drugs, that are in bondage to addiction, that are working women on the streets coming to us. But as we look to where God is pointing us, especially with, as Pastor Jim talked about, the move of our building, we found ourselves in a neighborhood where there's all these kids and all these families that are coming into our building. And so offensive for us looks like, as Tyler said, providing opportunities for our kids to pour into them. So specifically, we engage our kids in a couple different ways. We have Bible study for our youth and our adults, but we want to specifically be providing adult mentors for our youth to be pouring into them during that Bible study time, to be equipping them with God's word, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to look up verses in the Bible so that when they're not with us, that's something that they can hold with them as an armor, as a weapon when they're in that darkness at home. We have a tutoring ministry. The statistics for specifically our neighborhood are crazy. In 2017, there was some statistic release that over 86% of third graders in our zip code did not meet the English and language arts standards set by the state. Over 86% did not meet the standard. And so teaching kids how to read, equipping them with the Word of God, but also equipping them with the skills to be able to grow up, to pass their classes, to graduate high school, to get a job later in life, so that they have a road that can be set before them. Sports programs, that's been something that a lot of ministries have mentioned today. There's a sports program, a gospel-centered sports program that we've been partnering with on the east side of Detroit to give our kids the opportunity to get outside, to play, to run around in a structured setting like that, to teach our kids that don't know how to read right now that, hey, you are good at something. You know, you can throw a football, you can be a part of a team, and then they start believing in themselves. I mean, that translates to the classroom, it translates to their behavior. And then our summer field trip program, that was started 2 years ago. We just did that for the second year this past summer, taking our kids outside of the neighborhood, showing them places outside of the city. This was started because we had a conversation with one of our kids who was about 13 years old after Pastor Jim and Tyler had gotten back from one of the pastor conferences in Frankenmuth. And they said, you know, what were you up to this weekend? And they said, well, we were in Frankenmuth. And he responded, our kid, what's a Frankenmuth? So we were like, all right, let's expand your horizons here. Let's, you know, take you outside the city and show you that, you know, there's more than just what the streets here provide. So providing our kids with opportunities and experiences that they wouldn't otherwise have, and getting them in touch with mentors, helping them to build relationships with people that can pour into their lives. As I talk about kind of these four different programs, I want to give you kind of a real example, just kind of a face to put with that, because it's one thing to talk about it. First, I want to share a scripture. So John 1 verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And this kid here pictured in the picture, his name is Anthony, and he has had a lot of darkness in his life, much like a lot of the kids in Southwest Detroit. His father passed away when he was really young to a heroin overdose, so he grew up without a dad in his life. His mom is currently dating an abusive boyfriend, so he regularly sees his mom be physically abused, verbally, emotionally abused. He has a couple younger siblings and had an older brother that recently passed away this summer. to gun violence in the community. And so we have walked with him and with his family through that loss. I have maybe never experienced a more sad thing in my whole life than holding him at the gravesite of his brother as he just wept and wept. But for Anthony, a Family of God has been light for him in the darkness of his life. And in this picture, this is one of our volunteers named Paul. Paul and his wife Marcy show up every Monday night for Bible study and they help lead it. And there was one day that we were able to gift him with a bike that was provided because he was walking to school every day, which was about a half an hour walk. And so we gifted him with his bike, and along with it was a bike lock. And we, you know, said to him, "All right, Anthony, come up with a four-digit number to be your bike lock combination." And we were trying to help him come up with something like maybe your birthday or the year that you were born. And all on his own, he thought about it, and all on his own, with no prompting, he said, "What about the address to the church?" 7354 is what he decided to make his bike lock combination. Because Family of God was a place where he saw light. It was something different in his life. And as he walked down this path of darkness, all of a sudden he started to see illuminated for him a fork in the road where he could turn and he could decide to do something different than the vicious cycles and the vicious generations before him that have decided to not take that path. He saw an opportunity to turn. And like Tyler said, there are days, man, where our kids are just a pain in the butt. But we show up day after day after day praying over them and praying that God would continue to help us to be light in their life. And we have seen that in this young man's life. So just briefly here, how you can support us is, of course, your prayers. We covet those. We would not survive without them. But financially, how you could support us is giving to these three specific opportunities that we want to provide for our youth. The programs that we have, the tutoring, the summer field trip programs, those are all things that we provide to our kids free of cost because they wouldn't be able to attend otherwise. The sports camps, the soccer cleats that we buy for them or the shin guards that we buy for them, those are things that don't come at a cost. For them. So your financial donations to us, know that they will be used in these three areas as we pour into our kids through our summer field trip programs, through Max Sports, which is a sports program that we've been involved with our kids, and through taking them outside of the city in one of those opportunities that we've been able to do that is through Camp Arcadia. Thank you.
And we thank you for listening to the Michigan District's podcast on one of our innovative missional ministries. Make it a great day.